You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful planet that we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. You know, one of the things that's really cool about getting to do this show is that we have new listeners. People join us for the show for the very first time each and every night. And that's a good thing. That's a wonderful thing, as a matter of fact. And what's cool about that is I get email then from people who say, hey, I caught your show last night, first time I ever listened, I love the show, et cetera, et cetera. And I love that. And we have some new listeners tonight. So if you are brand new to the show, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. And you need to know that if you'll go over to kevinsmithshow.com, you will find there a little red button, or it's actually it's a black button, but it's got red letters, and it says K-Files E-Zine. If you click that, you can subscribe absolutely free of charge to our free weekly newsletter. It comes in your email each week, and you can unsubscribe anytime you want to. No strings attached. So be sure you get over there and do that. Now, some of you send me email from time to time, and you say, hey, what's the deal? I'm not getting the K-Files E-Zine anymore. And what's happened in a lot of cases, not in every case, but in a lot of cases, what's happened is you let your email box get over quota. And it bounced back to us because your box was over, it was stuffed, it was full. And when it bounces back to us three times, that doesn't mean three separate editions. We try, it tries to send it. We run to the end of the list, and then it'll try to send out again all the ones that bounce back. It runs to the end of that list, and then it tries again. If we get three bounce backs, it deletes, just like that, just deletes your subscription, and you have to resubscribe. So check your email once in a while, and empty out all that huge quota of, you know, the volume of email that you've got. And if you're like me, there's a whole lot of spam in there. All right. And sometimes it happens for other reasons. Just difficulties on the internet sometimes cause your server to be bouncing something back when normally it would take it. So it can happen. Don't panic. If it happens, just resubscribe. All right, let me ask you a question. Did you catch the show that we did a couple of weeks ago where we talked about, I showed you the pictures of Mars, NASA's pictures, and we talked about when you compare those pictures to what they say about Mars, it doesn't match, and you got to ask yourself, are you going to believe your eyes and the photographs that have come back from the satellites and the rovers and the landers, or are you going to believe what somebody told you? So you're looking at an object, and they say, you're looking at an A, and they say, bah, it's really a B, or it's a D. And you know you're looking at an A. Which are you going to believe, what you hear or what you see? The evidence is not what they say. The evidence is what you see. Well, there may be a possible connection between that and some great big silent holes in the information about our ancient past on this planet. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. My guest this evening is Walter Bosley. He is a publisher, an author, a former special agent for the U.S. Air Force Office of Special Investigations. And we're talking about holes in the information. And Walter, before we get to that question that I asked before the break, and we're going to get to it, first let me ask you, do you understand what I'm saying? Maybe I haven't made it clear. We have gigantic people that live among us now. Nobody's sending snipers after them. So what is it about these ancient giant skeletons that has the suppression wheels turning? That indicates to me there's something different about those skeletons than they're, you know, something different from the gigantic humans we have today. Does that make sense?
I was just coming back from grabbing something. Repeat that last part you said.
Well, you have gigantic humans. Nobody is sending snipers after them. They live among us today. But there is this suppression machinery going when it comes to these ancient giant skeletons. That indicates to me there's something different about those giant skeletons, different from the gigantic humans that we have today. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. We know that by the descriptions of some of these skeletons that were found. Some of them, there was the Lompoc giant found in Lompoc, California, in the vicinity of where Vandenberg Air Force Base is now. And this giant, I believe it was 14 feet in, would have been 14 feet in height when alive. And that was the one with a double row of teeth. Now, here's what's in it, and we find this a lot, a double row of teeth. It's not just the size. It's, you know, a double row of teeth. That implies that you're talking about one hell of some type of, I'm going to say a carnivore or something, that chewing is essential in its very existence and survival. And what's interesting is what comes to my mind is the ancient accounts of the giants, particularly in Genesis, where it talks about the giant races, and I know we'll get into that more later, but the pertinent point here is it talks about the giants of old, pre-flood, had degenerated from their origins, had degenerated and had become cannibals. So when you have a story like that, and I believe there's a nugget of truth in these ancient stories, I think the point there is, aha, there we have an ancient story of these beings being cannibalistic, not just carnivores, but eating human flesh. And it basically said they would eat human, you know, the other humans and each other if the other humans were missing. And here we're finding these very old skeletons, 14-foot tall humanoid, with double rows of teeth.
Okay, now, that, right. That some people might say, okay, well, you know, there are cannibals alive on Earth today, and there may be.
Sure.
Certainly within our lifetime, there have been cannibals alive on Earth. And we would see that as a behavioral malfunction. Okay, so... these giants perhaps just had very primitive behavioral malfunctions. However, they also, many of them, also were physically different from us. Not just that they were taller, but some of them are described, in fact, many of them that have been found, had six fingers on each hand, six toes. They also had these double rows of teeth, and in some cases they had very elongated skulls.
Mm-hmm.
So, and in fact, let me get to some pictures here of some of these elongated skulls, and let's see. Let me get one queued up here. Here's one everyone will be familiar with. Now, that is from Egypt. That is supposed to be Tut. That is supposed to be King Tut. And well, it is. That is a carving of King Tut. Here is the actual skull of his daddy. That's Akhenaten. Now, you can look at these skulls and see immediately that they are not the normal shape that we see for human skulls. They're very elongated. Now, these elongated skulls appear not only in Egypt. There are a whole lot of them in the mummies in Egypt, but also in South America. When they find mummies in South America, they find these elongated skulls. And these, there are people who say, and I've been reading up on this, there are people who say, well, yeah, but, you know, the a lot of the native peoples would bind the heads of the children, put these boards around and bind it tightly to squeeze the skull up and make it elongated. Those can be detected very easily because they have other character. First of all, you can see the marks of where the boards were, and then they have other characteristics that are very human in the structure of the skulls. But, for instance, in the structure of these elongated skulls that are very ancient, there are things about that skull, certain divisions in it that you would expect in a human, that simply are not there. Go ahead.
I was going to say another thing that the naysayers like to use is, or they fail to mention, I should say, is that the further you go back, when you get to the origins of why some of these native tribes would elongate the skulls, it was always to emulate the god beings or the god races that used to live among us.
Mm-hmm.
That's the origin of why that was done. But yet that gets left out. Well, then, who were these god beings? You know, well, that's the question they don't want anyone to ask. It's the question they don't want anyone to think about.
You know, one of the really, really good seminars that I have seen is Lloyd Pye talking about Everything You Know Is Wrong. And he explains, he says, you know, well, you know, we hear about this story and that story about ancient times, and the debunkers will say, well, that's just a myth. Okay, so if you go back all the way to the first civilization that we know anything about, the very first civilization, who gave them a myth? If it's the first civilization, they haven't been around long enough to form myths. So if we go back to the first city-dwelling people that lived on this planet, insofar as we know, we're going back to the Sumerians. And when we get back to the Sumerians, they had stories of and depictions of giants. Now, on the screen right now, people are seeing an ancient Sumerian carving. And it shows a king. He's got some of his subjects in front of him. They're standing, not kneeling, but they're very, very short, and he's very, very big. He's gigantic. And so where does this myth come from if this is the first city dwellers that we know anything about? How did they get this myth? Well, the conclusion, the Occam's razor would tell you that the reason they drew their king so large is because he was large. That's the simplest explanation for it. Mm-hmm. So, and they said that these giants were the Anunnaki.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now, what's the deal with these elongated skulls, these double rows of teeth, six fingers, are we looking at a non-terrestrial or at least a non-human, other than human, civilization or race? Is that what we're looking at?
Well, it's very, very possible. But you know, when you ask that question, you get into, you know, you got to consider the angles. Again, going back to the ancient Judeo-Christian scriptures, the giants were the offspring of the fallen angels. Okay, of these sons of God that came down, you know, before the fall. Now they would be the ones who were originally from off planet. And again, in this legend, you know, the giants are their offspring. Okay, does that imply then that the sons of God were actually giants from outer space? So the answer to your question is both. They are both extraterrestrial, but they are also, you know, indigenous to this earth.
Well, now look, we know from doing crossbreeding and DNA experiments now that you don't have to have giant parents in order to be a giant. All that has to happen is when you crossbreed different species. Very often when you crossbreed different species, the little triggers in your DNA that stop your growth are not there, or they don't work. And so that's how you get – have you ever seen a picture of a liger? It's a lion and a tiger hybrid.
Yeah.
They're gigantic, huge. Well, the reason you take a normal lion and a normal tiger and you mix their DNA and come up with a hybrid, well, those triggers in the DNA don't work and you get a giant. And that could be what happened with the breeding of off-worlders with terrestrial humans.
Yeah.
It could be that the DNA triggers just didn't trigger, and you got giants out of it.
Absolutely, and I do agree that it definitely looks like, according to the evidence we have through lore and otherwise, that the origin of this, you know, was very likely extraterrestrial, and very specifically. You know, Mars somehow factors into this. I happen to, you know, embrace the possibility that, and I've mentioned it here before about how some of us, our origins are off planet. Some of us, our origins started right here. Both human. When I say this, I'm not doing any kind of, you know, master race nonsense. I do not mean that. And so it's very interesting. You know, is this the world of the giants originally, and we came from somewhere else, or was Mars the, you know, their place, and then they started coming here? It opens up all sorts of questions, and the giants, in all these questions, these giant races are right there in it, and, you know, that's why we're having this talk tonight, is because, wow, how interesting that it gets ignored. And it even gets ignored by the UFO mainstream.
Yeah,
you know, they're pretty dyed in the wool. It's all Roswell and MJ-12, and by God, there's nothing else. You know, and they're shooting themselves and everybody else in the foot.
Well, I think the giants maybe, as you say, were not off-worlders. Maybe they were born here, but perhaps these are the hybrids that are spoken of in Genesis and spoken of in Enoch and spoken of by the Sumerians. It's pretty interesting that you find these giants, the giant skeletons, you find them all over the world. And when I say find, I don't mean that we can go look at them, because they do get confiscated. But they have been found all over the world. We'll be back right after this break, folks. And welcome back. My guest this evening is Walter Bosley, and we'll join him again here in just a second. But a quick announcement. I got an email from a listener that reminded me of something. I got that this morning. Wanting to know, a new listener wanting to know, well, where can I find this fantastic music you're playing on the show? Well, we announced that during the breaks. It's in the breaks, but let me give it to you. We have basically three sources for the music that you hear during the breaks, during the show. One is GarageBand.com, the other is PodSafe.com, and the other is the independent musicians just send it to us. Now, if you're an independent musician and you want to send us some music, go over to SteelEyeMedia.com and use the form that's there to send us the music, because it gives us clearance to play your music. All right? That's how you do it. And that's where the music comes from. My guest is Walter Bosley. We're talking about this mystery having to do with the silence, not just the mystery of the giants, but the mystery of the silence about the giants. That's the mystery. So we're obviously doing some speculating, but I mean, we have to. In the absence of evidence, all speculations are on the table. And we have to, because we're being denied evidence. And the evidence that's being denied to the public is evidence about these giant skeletons, the information that we know they've got. We know they have the skeletons. They've been found all over the world. There's one particular cave in the United States of America where 62 giant skeletons were taken out. 62. And where are they? Where are these skeletons? Okay, that's a mystery, but we're probably never going to get to that. The silence is screaming there's something special about those giants. It's not just that they're giants, because we have living giants among us now. So it's not just their size. There's something different, something special about those skeletons. That's why they don't want anyone to see it. They don't want anybody to know about it. They deny having any knowledge of it themselves. That tells me there's something different about those giants. Okay, now we were talking about a Mars connection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in South America, there are a bunch of giants' skeletons that have been found there. And in fact, during the days of the conquistadors, they were encountering living giants. I think it was Captain Cook that actually had a living giant on board his ship, strapped to the main mast, and the giant somehow, he was bringing him back to Europe, and somehow this giant got free of what was holding him to the mast, I guess ropes, and he jumped overboard and swam away. So we know that during the days of the conquistadors and the explorers coming to the New World and so forth, they were encountering living giants. In South America, there are cities that are obviously oversized, ancient cities.
Right.
Built for people way bigger than us. And the natives there say they were built by the giants. Now, when the conquistadors first saw these gigantic buildings, they asked, "Did you build all of this?" And they said, "Oh, no. This was built by the giants. It was already here when we got here."
Right.
Who are these giants? And why do we find them all? How can it be that you find them all over the world? Because they obviously predate the Incas and the Mayans and the Olmec.
Mm-hmm.
They predate them. They obviously predate the Egyptian cultures.
Mm-hmm.
So they predate what we think would be any possibility of having transportation to cross the oceans. But apparently, they must have. Or they came through the air.
Right.
Have you ever thought about the population patterns here in the United States? And not just the United States, but in the Americas. If the first settlers, the first people to come here, were coming from Siberia across the land bridge or ice bridge that is no longer there, it's now underwater. If that were true, then the most populous areas would be in the northwest United States, and then it would fan out because that's where they come to first. And then it would fan out, and the last areas populated would be the southern Americas.
Right.
And that is exactly opposite of what archaeology tells us. The oldest is in South America.
They like to argue, though, that, well, the original immigrants, they kept moving till they found the nicer weather zones, and then they established. But that does not explain what you're talking about, you know, some of these artifacts that are just, you know, way advanced in their construction and way far older than this, you know, alleged migration over the Bering Strait, the land bridge there. These things were built before that happened. And, you know, you mentioned South America. The best example, I've been there. It's up in Tiahuanaco, up on the Altiplano in Peru. When you're on your way from, you know, the Lima, Cusco area to Lake Titicaca, the site called Pumapunku, much more fascinating than Tiahuanaco, in my opinion, and a lot of people I know. When you go to Tiahuanaco, you are amazed at this site called Pumapunku, which is just now beginning to be talked about a little bit more, as it should be. But there, they say absolutely what you said. It was the city built by the giants, and it was built in a, you know, in like a day and a night, that kind of thing, built overnight or something. And they had incredible machinery. And when their city was destroyed by a flood, they took their machinery and left the foundations of the city behind. Now, when you look at the stones, the slabs that are left, you know, you're looking at this, and you're looking at big slabs of stone that have been cut with precision, okay? And it looks like, my first thought before I heard the story, before David told me what the story was, I said, wow, David, this looks really interesting. And he kind of said, well, tell me what you think it is. I said, well, if I didn't know better, this looks like a foundation of some type of, and I said that, equipment or machinery that, you know, had to be, you know, firmly secured to the floor of a factory or whatever. He was smiling a little bit. When I got done telling him what I thought, he told me what the legend was, and that's essentially what the legend was. And I'm not saying I'm so great and brilliant. My point is, it's clear to you what this is. And then what brings the giants into it is the scope of, you know, the buildings in this construction, and the story alludes to an advanced technology and ties it to the giants.
Well, one of the best examples of giant archaeology or architecture, I guess is a good word to use even, is at Baalbek in Lebanon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are stones there, blocks that have been cut out, and they're very, very well cut, are of a size that we have nothing. We have no machinery today that can move the giant stones at Baalbek. And we can't pick it up. We can't move it. We have zero capability of doing anything on that scale.
Right.
And yet it was done, okay, by the giants. What do you think?
Well, on that issue, yes, I'm going to say yes. The giants, at some point possess this technology, brought it, or whatever. The Giants were involved in this because we know that from legends, first of all. But also, there's the issue of the using anti-gravity, as it were, understanding, you know, this brings us back to the ley lines, about the energy forces of the planet and knowing how to manipulate them so that, you know, one person, one or two guys could manipulate a huge stone block into place because essentially it floated through the air. There are also legends about that.
We have a break coming up. When we come back from this break, I want to get into the giants, the pharaohs, the ley lines, and something in Egyptian lore that may tie them together. We'll be back right after this, folks. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Walter Bosley. Walter, before we went away for break, you know, you brought up ley lines, and you said there's a possible connection. Well, let me give you some things and see what you think about it. There are ley lines that run through the Great Pyramid.
Yes.
There are stories from the most ancient times of Egypt that the pharaohs were gods and that they were responsible for the weather. All right. In Bosnia, they have discovered pyramids, although there are some in official circles that are scoffing at that. Pyramid experts from Egypt have looked at it and said, yes, these are man-made pyramids. Well, they have done some studies of these pyramids. They've measured energy around the pyramids, and one of them, I forget which one, I think it's the Pyramid of the Moon. Every few minutes, they can watch on their instruments, and it builds up an electromagnetic charge inside of the pyramid, and then it discharges every few minutes. And they have photographed it doing that. They have a way to photograph that energy discharge. All right, and so I wouldn't be surprised if there are ley lines that are running through that thing.
Right.
So, what if and then we have, you know, some of the pharaohs that some of them are decidedly human. I mean, they look human. And then you've got some that look very decidedly not human. Now, I've put a picture back up here of the statue of Tut. It's the bust of Tut and his elongated head. All right, now there are people who might say, well, that was just sort of artistic license, or they weren't very good artists or something. But then we look at the skull of his father, and the skull is elongated. This is not a carving. That's the skull. Okay? Is it possible that, and by the way, these pharaohs with the elongated heads were said to be very tall.
What a surprise.
Most of them. All right. Is it possible that they are, in fact, these hybrids are, you know, whatever. Anyway, they're part of that line of giants, maybe descendants of some more hybridization, but they're very tall. They have these elongated heads and perhaps possess, because of their lineage, perhaps they were given the knowledge and possess the knowledge of the technology of the pyramid in doing some weather control with the ley line forces that are coming in, or the energy coming into the pyramid. because you know we know now that weather modification is done. We know that in some places it is done with high energy. So is it possible that all this ties together right there at the pyramid?
You know, absolutely. When the more you know about the pyramid, both officially and the stuff that's not accepted by the official line thinkers, I know you're familiar with the works of Joseph Farrell. You know, the research
sure.
he's done, and also Christopher Dunn. You know, they've pretty much demonstrated in their research and their works how you know these pyramids, or the Great Pyramid specifically, was definitely a housing for a machine, I do believe, you know, through my research and, you know, which my research is just on the shoulders of a lot of smarter guys before me that have been doing this a long time, there just seems to be a preponderance of evidence, way too much evidence that the pyramids are exactly, you know, what you say. They were, you know, it's some type of machinery, and it definitely used the natural energy of the earth, or else, you know, they would not be getting those readings to this day. I mean, think about it. It's essentially, it's the same thing. That is the same thing what they're picking up, potentially the same thing as if you left your car and, 500, 1,000, 13,000 years from now, you know, supposing it didn't rot away, they could turn it over, you know, a few times a day. Don't just crank that engine over. It's you know, to put it in those terms, that's the same thing. And that's astonishing. And it's got to be drawing from the earth, I believe, for them to be registering
yeah.
that phenomenon you were talking about.
Let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Hello, yeah, Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin, you seem to have started your program an hour earlier tonight. I almost missed it.
Oh, actually, no, I didn't. Did you have daylight savings time?
Yeah, we fell back 1 hour. So, usually, at least our time, the show starts at 10 o'clock and the open lines start at 11, but this time it seems that the show started at 9 Eastern
yeah.
time and started, I don't know, just the way the clocks are, I guess.
Well, let me ask you this. Hang on just a second. You are in Pacific time, are you not, Walter?
Yes.
What time is it?
It's 7 o'clock right now. When we started, it was 6 o'clock for me, and shortly before that, I had just remembered that Arizona does not do the daylight savings time.
Well, I'll tell you something. We had, you know, and I'll have to apologize to everybody about this, but, you know, we had this big lightning storm, and it did some damage to some of our equipment. We have an atomic clock that runs all the computers and synchronizes them, and perhaps it is damaged. So we'll have to see about that, and I apologize to everybody. But and I'll stay on for an extra hour tonight to make sure everybody gets their dose. But what do you think about this, Kevin? What do you think about the Giants?
Well, I only caught the last 15 seconds of the 15 minutes of the show. But I got to ask you, Mr. Bosley, how does your research tie in with that of Zechariah Sitchin, if it does?
Well, I think it fits. I think what Sitchin has done fits very snugly into all the stuff we're talking about. I'm a great believer in the truth is a big puzzle, and there's a whole bunch of people with different pieces. Unfortunately, because of the nature of what we call these days the cult of celebrity and fame and all that nonsense, people tend to think that their way is their piece is the whole puzzle. Case in point, the UFO community, with, like I said before, it's Roswell, it's MJ-12, and the rest of you people are fools. That's the tendency there, and that's an example. I think Sitchin's research, and, you know, that was one of the early things that I read when I was first turning on to all this, or I should say realizing, what we're talking about tonight, years ago, 20-some years ago, You know, what he has found and what he has contributed is very, very important, because it has everything to do with this. It's not the full story, you know, it's not the complete picture, but it is, I believe, a substantial piece to that.
All right, thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, boy, I tell you, that is so weird, Walter. While you were talking, I went in and looked at the atomic clock, and the atomic clock on our system shows that it is, in fact, 8:13. Mm-hmm. Now, that's an atomic clock. Mm-hmm. That is weird.
Well, isn't it truly 8:13 where you're at, though?
Yeah, but I don't run on time here. My clocks are set for Pacific time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Huh.
Interesting little glitch there.
Yeah, very interesting.
Maybe they, you know, didn't want it to reduce as many people as possible hearing this, although they know that you archive these shows and many people can, you know, hear them anyway.
I would think that's probably the case. And of course, we are archiving the shows. But let me say, for all of those who are just tuning in and you wonder what's going on, join the club. We do, too. I'll tell you this, Walter. I was sitting here watching my computer one afternoon. I was doing some work on it, and I was watching it process the work that I had just put in and watching the various results come up. There's some tests I was running, and the tests had nothing to do with being online. All of a sudden, I watched the cursor move, and the cursor moved over and started clicking things. Someone had gotten in and taken control of the computer, and I was able to put a stop to it. But maybe
were they clicking?
They were changing configuration in my. In my broadcast software. So had I not stopped it and restored everything to where it was, we would not have been able to broadcast that night.
Now think about that. There's a lot of people who speculate about, you know, organizations, whoever out there doing something like that. You have sat there and witnessed that being done on your computer.
Yeah.
And, you know, so just think about how potentially huge that is. I've gotten into the habit where if I leave my computer on, but I go away from it for a while,
yeah,
I unplug it from the, I unhook the internet connection.
I can't do that. We broadcast 24/7. All right, we're into a break. We'll be back right after this. More with Walter Bosley and the Giants. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. For those of you who are joining us now, let me tell you that we have our broadcast computers set on an atomic clock that runs both computers. And that clock gets its time from an observatory, a time observatory, in Colorado. And it's at the time. Both computers are exactly synchronized. But I got to tell you, apparently someone changed the setting in the clock. It wasn't me. It wasn't Dr. Bob or any of the producers that helped me because they haven't been in here. But somebody went in there and changed by 1 hour the time on the clock. And so at the appropriate time, based on that clock, we started the show. Great mystery, huh? My guest is Walter Bosley. Walter, we have a caller online, so let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Yeah, hi, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
And I also missed the first hour of your guest, so I don't really know much. I know it's about the Giants. But I have a comment for you. I heard you talking about these ley lines or pyramids or whatever, where you said that they were detecting electrical...
That's pollution. Right. That's in Bosnia.
Okay. I know, I've seen a person, I know, have you ever heard of curling photography?
Yes.
There's a new guy, he's called Harry Oldfield.
Okay.
I don't know if either you or your guest know of him.
Mm-hmm.
He made a new machine along that line. He calls it PIP. And he's been using it and taking it around the world. You know, people have been asking him to check things out. And I've seen one pretty amazing demonstration of it where he took it to a pyramid. I'm not sure which one, but it showed these lines spurting out, different colored lines spurting out from the top of the pyramid through this machine, almost like a, you know, a sparkler or one
yeah,
of those,
that's the one I was talking about. Mm-hmm, that's in Bosnia.
Flying, different colors and stuff flying out.
That's the pyramid
experience
in Bosnia.
And so that might be something you might want to check into. For your guests, I live in Ohio, and we have serpent mounds, which are burial sites of old red-haired, tall or giant people. A lot, you know, we know these things exist. Why are they taking them away, and where are they taking them to? And I'll listen offline.
Okay, thank you for the call. Well, and that is what we've been discussing, mm-hmm. is who's taking them, why are they taking them away, and where are they taking them to? That is a mystery. I don't know that we will ever be able to answer that mystery. But the silence about these giants screams that there's something special about the giants other than the fact that they are giants. Because we have giant people living on the earth today. I showed a picture earlier of one. I'll put it up again. This is a giant in Afghanistan. And you can see a U.S. soldier right next to him. Look at the difference in the size. And you can see other Afghan men standing behind him. Look at the difference in the size. It's phenomenal. The difference in the size is just, he is truly a giant. So we have giants living among us now. No one's sending snipers out to wipe out the giants that live among us now. Yet, the giant skeletons are vanishing. As soon as somebody finds one, it vanishes. And then we're told by various authorities, well, we have no record of that. We don't know what you're talking about. So what's the deal? What is it about these giant skeletons that's different from the giants that live among us today? There is something different because they're vanishing and no one will talk about it. So there's got to be something different. And that's what we've been talking about. We've been talking about what is the information that goes in that void, in that silence. What is the information? There's something different about them. I've shown a couple of photographs here. Walter, I don't know if you are you in front of a computer screen where you can see what I put up on the screen?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you have ever seen what I've just put on the screen, but what I've just put on the screen is a skull, an ancient skull.
Okay.
The size and placement of the eye sockets makes it look immediately as though it's something other than human, although the general shape of the skull appears to be like a human, but it's got two horns.
Let me dash over there and take a quick look.
Yeah. It's got two horns, and the horns are very prominent. Nobody's talking about this. One of the things I said early in the show, one of the things I look at and is very, very important, one of the things I pay attention to, is what people don't say. Okay? If you have, let me give you an example. If you've got, well, I'll have to do it after this break. We'll be back right after this break, folks. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Walter Bosley. For those of you just tuning in, you're not aware of the fact that someone apparently was able to get into our computer and change the atomic clock. Our computers are set to Pacific time. Though I do not live in the Pacific time zone, we stay set to the Pacific time. And so this all should have happened automatically with the atomic clock. And someone changed the settings in the atomic clock and actually they added an hour to the atomic clock instead of it doing what it should have done normally, which is update us for daylight savings time. It added an hour so that... all of my software activated and started the show at the time it was supposed to, based on that atomic clock. But we don't know who did it. I don't care who did it. We are surviving. We are broadcasting. We are there. The telephone line is open. We're talking about giants this evening. My guest is Walter Bosley, and we're talking about these giants that have existed on the planet prior to any known civilizations, apparently. The skeletons are found. The skeletons then get scooped up by various types of archaeological officials. They disappear, and then when you go and check to see, for instance, if it was a group from Smithsonian that showed up and took the skeleton, you go check at the Smithsonian, they say, well, we don't have any record of that. We didn't do that. So all these skeletons of giants seem to disappear. The thing that's interesting to me is not just that. That's interesting. But the really interesting thing to me is the silence imposed on the subject. It's as if, you know, Walter, the Egyptians, if they were really mad at a pharaoh or some other official, they would chisel his name off of all the monuments.
Mm-hmm.
And thereby hope to wipe out the memory of that official. That's kind of what's happening with these giants. They're just chiseling them out of history. But we know for sure that giant skeletons have been found. We know for sure that they had physical characteristics different from humans as we know humans today. Not just that they were giants, but double rows of teeth, six fingers, six toes, all of that. And then those skeletons, and they disappear. And the way we know it is because there was a time when it was being reported in newspapers the finding of these giant skeletons. Photographs of these giant skeletons were appearing in newspapers. Accounts of the archaeological expedition, who was in charge, and so forth, appeared in the newspapers. And then they disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know for sure that this has happened. We know for sure these giants have been found. We know for sure that they were different from humans as we know them today. What's really interesting is the silence. Why the silence? The silence imposed on this topic and on this information seems to be equal to, if not greater, than the silence imposed on UFOs. And my question, my question at the beginning was, so is there a connection between the two? And you were going to say something, and I interrupted you.
Well, I was just going to say just that it's that they are tied together. But here's the interesting thing: what the silence implies, or could imply, it could imply that A, they know exactly who these giants are, and what this race is, and they are in contact with them, and have agreed to keep it from, you know, the public view, or they're in contact with them and have been in contact with them and have been told to keep it from the public view, or they are aware of their existence and are hoping for a contact, and because of various political reasons, you know, they're hoping that, you know, keep this thing hush-hush, and, you know, we'll be the ones who make the contact and make the deals, make the whatever, you know. But the silence implies that, it, to me, implies an awareness far beyond anything they want to admit to. I think you kind of, the way you put it kind of alludes to the, you know, the tighter lip they are about something. You know, take our classified secrets. The tighter something is, you know, held, the deeper something is covered up, you know, that's the thing, you know, the truer it may be. I'm not stating that clearly, but, you know, the more quiet they're being implies to me the more they know about this.
Well, look, here's how it works. If you assume that truth, that facts are like a light, truth is like a light, and it may be a feeble light. It may only be the light that you would get from a matchstick. But and that's not much light. But the more darkness you put around it, the brighter it seems to shine. And the more darkness you put around this topic, the more it shines. The more silence you impose on this topic, the more it screams for attention.
Yeah, of course.
And so, you know, if you're in a place where there's absolute silence, you probably could hear a cricket walk. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so when you impose this thick blanket of silence on this subject, on this topic, any subject, any topic, then the scant information that we do have, like some of the photographs that I've been showing, that scant information begins to scream volumes about what we're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And the very fact of the silence screams, look at me, look at me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really not too much in the interest of those who are imposing this silence to impose the silence. If they think there's a need for secrecy here, they need to ease off of the silence and give us some information about this. You got to at least put out some information and disinformation to make people look away.
Well, unless there's something they're afraid of, and this is another aspect that ties to ancient times and brings in the subject of, for example, religious superstition. If these beings, first of all, are of a huge physical stature, we don't know what else, based on their technology, their knowledge, or their very natural beings, we don't know what else they bring to the table besides immense size, okay? the people in the know could, quite frankly, be awestruck by these creatures, these beings, and that right there could be your answer. It could be, oh my God, these are the so-called gods of ancient times, and they're awestruck, they're ordered. You will not, reveal this, that, or the other, what we really are, where we're really from, that we're coming and going. But there seems to be whatever, some reward to keeping this secret. And when I say reward, that could be, political power. It could be some type of wealth, perhaps. It might even be, escaping with their very lives. It might be that, we are alive because these people keep this secret. But there's some dividend that's being paid for maintaining the secrecy, or it wouldn't be kept. I mean, think about that. Look at, and this compares to why J.P. Morgan suppressed Tesla technology because he couldn't put a meter on it. Well, let's suppress that crap because we're making gazillions of dollars with the status quo. Same with people who have invented, things much better than combustion engine. You hear these stories where they give the guy enough money to where his grandkids live wealthy. Who's going to turn that down? And then they just shelve his technology. They just, people don't need to know about that. Well, they do that because of money and the power that it brings and the comfort that it brings. There's a dividend that the secret keepers are collecting by keeping the secret. And it could be, if we found out, here's the other aspect of it. We have a tendency to jump and say, oh, these rotten bastards, we're supposed to know everything. They're keeping stuff from us. We never know that maybe it turned out that there is a very good reason that's to our benefit that this couldn't be, told sooner or couldn't be revealed. Because we don't know, we have to concede that is also a possibility. We have to concede that the secret keepers, might be doing things in a way to protect us. This goes into, you would say, well, protect us from what? Well, look at the nature of these giants we've been talking about, just the giants, the double row of teeth. They were known to be cannibals. And then what's interesting is you've got these abduction stories, that we're hearing about with these, strange beings and stuff. And some of them are pretty downright scary, including some that we don't hear about too much. There's one that Ken Hudnall talks about in his book, The Occult Connection. Now, this took place in 1956, and I got to tell you, I never heard about this particular story till I read his book, and you sure as hell don't see this on the TV shows about UFO abductions, but because there's an agenda to the whole abduction phenomena anyway, the way it's reported or written about, but this is an Air Force officer an enlisted gentleman, a technical sergeant or something, Sergeant Lovett. Are you familiar with this story?
It does not ring a bell at this point.
Okay, this is the guy. 1956. Two other military people watched him be abducted, and he disappeared. Was taken away, and when they found his body, the tongue had been removed from the lower portion of the jaw. His genitals had been cut off, his eyes were removed, his anus had been cored out, no sign of blood, no decomposition, and when a couple of buzzards tried to eat on him, or blackbirds or whatever, they died after, eating the flesh. They say this kind of goes on, but rarely, if ever, gets reported. You think about the stories of the giants and that they had these double row of teeth when they find these skeletons.
Walter, we're into a break, and we'll have to pick that up when we come back. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Don't go away. gentlemen, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I am Kevin Smith, your host, and my guest this evening is Walter Bosley. Walter, we have a caller on the line, so let's go to the telephone. Caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio again.
Yeah, Terry.
I was wondering if your guest ever heard of Carl Ball. He has a Creation Institute there in Texas somewhere.
All right. Have you ever heard of him, Walter?
No.
Yeah, he's a professor. He's also a reformed creationist to, evolutionist to a creationist. And he's reenacted or recreated an experiment where he put the conditions which he believed were before the flood, where the atmosphere and there was more oxygen and everything, and he made piranhas where they grew naturally larger than normal.
Yeah, I actually have I'm familiar with him, and I'm familiar with that experiment. I've seen some video of that.
Yeah, and I find that quite interesting. And I also I just wondered if
let me ask you a question here.
Have a disclosure, you know, in aliens land, you know, and you hear a lot about these mile-long spaceships. If one of these spaceships would land, you know, and you say, well, people really wouldn't be afraid, you know, they'd get over it. You know, you're talking about the grays and the whites that are just a little taller than us and maybe the lizards or whatever. But if something like a giant 35-foot would step out of one of these, I think we'd have a whole new scenario on people's reactions. Of that.
Well,
and
now, Terry,
I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, Terry, don't go away yet. I got a question for
you.
Two questions. The first one has to do with the professor that you mentioned and his experiment. Is he trying to say with his experiment that explains how there were giants before the flood?
He still goes along with the Genesis and the angels interfering with mankind. But he also says that our planet before the flood was quite different, smaller, the atmosphere pressure was less or whatever. There was more oxygen. I don't know how, you know, all the technical stuff about it. But
yeah, well, the reason I ask that question is that
birds and everything.
Okay.
I don't think he can hear you.
No, I don't think he can. Terry, the reason I asked that question is that the Genesis story says that there were giants after the flood, and then there were various stories in the Bible after the flood where you had giants, Goliath being one of them. The tallest giant mentioned in the Bible was 13.5 feet tall. And that was King Og of Bashan. So I don't think that there's ever any mention of anything 35 feet tall, but 13 feet would certainly get your attention anyway. All right, the second...
Did they say that that one guy was like 18 foot long, or his bed?
His bed was 15 feet.
Because I know I've seen on the Internet this one website where this guy was digging up this giant, and the guy himself, the head of this giant, was as big as the guy.
Yeah, we've dealt with that picture. That was an entry in a Photoshop contest. It's well known who, I mean, you can go to the contest and you get the name of the person that photoshopped it. It was an art contest. All right, now, one last thing.
Okay.
Do you think that these ancient giant skeletons are something other than just human? Because we have human giants today and nobody's trying to get rid of them. But these giant skeletons, somebody is obviously getting rid of them, and we've got the names of some of the institutions that have been getting rid of them. So are they just humans that were giants, or are these ancient giant skeletons something other than just human?
I think there's both. The difference is that the human giants are regular human giants. They're, you know, they got five fingers, five toes. You know, they're just like me and you. The weird ones are the ones with the six fingers, six toes, double row of teeth.
Yeah. And what do you think they are?
I believe that, you know, without any other explanation, I believe it's interference with creation.
All right. I appreciate the call.
Sure. Thanks, Cap.
All right. I think it's pretty obvious that it's not normal for humans to have, six fingers, six toes, double rows of teeth, and stand 14 feet tall. That's just not normal. And I think there's solid evidence that this is something other than just human skeletons that happen to be giants. You know, the Maasai tribe over in Africa are all very tall. The average height of the Maasai are above 7 feet tall. For the men, above 7 feet tall, on average. And so, we do have very tall people that live on this planet now. But that, I think, Walter, is not what we're talking about here. I don't think these skeletons of these ancient giants were just human. I think there's something else to it. I'm not sure what it is. But I think there's a connection between those skeletons and something off-world. It may be indirect. The connection may be indirect. It, you know, as you say, they may be the offspring, the hybrids of these sons of God who had sexual relations with human women.
Mm-hmm.
That may be the case. But there you have, they're hybrids, and there you have an off-world connection. I think it's interesting, too, to note, and there I'll get flack over this one, but, I have said before that in the strictest sense of the word, if you take what the New Testament says about Jesus, he is a hybrid physically, because he has a human mother, and he has God as his father. And I think it's interesting that he was taller than anyone else around him. And it says that in the scriptures, that he was head and shoulders above all the other people around him.
Mm-hmm.
Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin.
Hello.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Your first name and where are you calling
Norman?
From? I can hear you. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Tony and Norman.
Tony and Norman. All right, Tony. What's on your mind this evening?
I was just curious. Is it Stephen Quayle?
Uh-huh.
Do you know about him?
Yes,
Steve
I do.
Walter?
Yeah, I know about Stephen Quayle.
Mm-hmm.
And Walter, do you know about him?
Yes, I'm looking at his book right now.
On his website, I think he has giants up to 40 feet tall.
Yes.
Have you ever come across anything like that?
Just in Steve Quayle's information that you're talking about, and in a general sense, allusions, for instance, I believe in some of the imagery that Sitchin uses of the ancient Egyptians, where, you know, they've got the depiction of the army and the soldiers are real tiny and the pharaoh leading them is real big. Some people have interpreted that to be that that was supposed to be a literal dimension. But, yeah, it's pretty startling. It's a pretty startling theory that, you know, Stephen Quayle presents, you know, that they got that tall. That's pretty amazing. And maybe the those of the far back ancient times did indeed reach something close to that, if not that itself.
So, do you know of any actual bones being found of someone that tall?
Other than what Steve Quayle and what Kevin has talked about, they know more about the details on that than I do.
All right, guys, we're into a break. We got to go. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. Welcome back. This is the Kevin Smith Show. I am Kevin Smith, your host. My guest has been Walter Bosley. I thank him for being with us this evening. And for those of you just now tuning in, you're not aware of the fact that from time to time, we get invaded. And by invaded, I mean someone gets into the computer and does things. Someone changed the settings in the atomic clock. It's supposed to update automatically for Pacific time, and it updates automatically for daylight savings time. Someone went in and actually changed the settings in there, and it was not me, nor was it anyone who works with me here, and we'll let it go at that. But anyway... what we're going to do is we are headed on. So those of you who have been with me right from the beginning, which was an hour early your time, panic not. We're continuing on, and we're talking this evening about those very, very mysterious holes in the information out there about giant skeletons that have been found. Now, I did get an email with an update on Dick Criswell. Those who have listened to this show for a while know that Dick Criswell, he's a friend of this show. He's my friend, and he had a heart attack and had to have quintuple bypass, five bypass. He's been in the hospital a long time, and then he was in a rehab center. And I just got this in just a few minutes ago. It says Dick Criswell is back in the hospital at St. Vincent's in Indianapolis. He was taken back there today. He has a fever, and his wife thought he might be trying to get pneumonia. He is responding to treatment as of this email. And then it gives his room number and a telephone number. I don't know if I'm intended to give that out publicly on the air, so until I hear from the sender of this email, then I will withhold that. But it says, please have your audience pray for his speedy recovery and keep him in your thoughts. So that's an update on Dick Criswell. Let me say, for those of you who are outside of the United States and you're outside of Canada, you're listening to this show, you can participate in the show by sending me a flash message. Now, if you're in the United States, if you're in Canada, use the telephone number, which is 602-539-9580. If you're outside of the United States and you're outside of Canada, send me a flash message. Now, all you have to do is scroll down, go to my webpage, kevinsmithshow.com, and scroll down, and you will find a link that says flash message. It's right under that little blurb about tonight's show. What we were talking about and what we will continue to be talking about here is one of the great mysteries of our time, the silence that has descended upon the giant skeletons that have been found all over the Americas and all over the world. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
Hey, Kevin. This is a little off topic.
All right.
But do you have the ability to trace all of the activities on your computers?
You can trace them only so far, and then they hit what's called a black hole server, and I do not have the ability to go beyond that.
Well, too bad. Otherwise, good to see you could find out who did it.
Yeah, but you have been listening for a long time, and you remember a couple of years ago. Well, no, it was 2007, so yeah. A year ago, when we were getting hacked, and they even replaced the main page with what I consider to be a terrorist message. You may remember all of that. Well, we did trace it back, and it traced back to an army base in a foreign country. And so I had someone helping me with that, and they were able to trace it back to that. I do not have that person's assistance at this time. And so, you know, I can trace it back only so far, and then it hits what's called a black hole server. And we don't come out on the other side. Once you fall into the black hole, there's a reason why they call it that. Information disappears. But that's okay. You know, I think that they, whoever they are, knowing what we were going to talk about tonight, decided that we weren't going to be able to get the message out. Well, the message is not that I have answers to the questions. The message is that I'm pointing to these big black holes of silence that have descended upon the topic. And, you know, apparently it's more sensitive than the UFO topic.
Yeah. Did you get my message I sent earlier this evening?
I haven't checked the email this afternoon. I was so busy getting ready for the show tonight that I haven't checked this afternoon's email.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Bye.
All right, folks. The telephone number is 602-539-9580. And I want to go back and talk about some of these photographs and why I chose them and why I think they're important. About a week ago, maybe a couple of weeks ago now, I did a show on Mars. I was not on Mars. I was here, but the topic was the bad information we've gotten about Mars. And I simply showed you photographs that the NASA photographs that showed that what NASA was saying about certain things didn't match their own photographs. And their own photographs scream they're not telling you the truth about certain things. And the point of that show was that we get bad information from even sources that we consider to be highly respected. And now we're getting silence from highly respected sources on the subject of these giants. Caller, if you will, hang on for just a second. Now, what's on your screen is a picture of a clay tablet from the Sumerians. Here we have a giant king and three normal-sized Sumerians in front of him. And, you know, the stories of their kings in the early days of the Sumerian culture being giants are all through the Sumerian writings. And the question then is, why? The question is, what's the deal? I mean, there were giants. They weren't nervous about writing about it. Why is there silence about all this now? All right, let's go to the telephone caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan up in Washington State. How are you doing today?
Outstanding. Ryan, how are you?
Pretty good.
Good.
Well, there's folks out there that didn't want any information to get out tonight, then we can just go to the Internet. So I don't think they're going to be able to shut down the entire Internet. If anybody wants the information, just go on the Internet.
Well, that's true, but now
I hope they're listening out there. I hope they're listening that
rest assured
they can go to the Internet, and I'd like to see them try and stop the whole Internet. But the thing I wanted to mention was maybe everybody should watch a special tonight on Discovery Channel at 8 o'clock. There's a Nazi UFO conspiracy show.
Okay.
Documentary.
All right.
The Nazi UFO conspiracy at 10 o'clock on Discovery. So maybe everybody can watch it. We can talk about it next week.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Hey, Kevin, thank you very much. Keep up the good work.
I appreciate it. Thank you. All right, folks. 602-539-9580. That's the number, 602-539-9580. And we're talking about these giants, all right? Now, to some people, that's just a novelty. You know, you start talking about giants, and even our guest earlier pointed out that even in the UFO community, this gets kind of swept under the rug and kind of scoffed at a little bit. But the thing about it is, you know, we really shouldn't be doing that because we know for sure that mummies and skeletons of these ancient giants have been found. That's not a myth. That's not a rumor. They have been found in great numbers, and they all disappear. Now, some of them get photographed, and those photographs in the before the 1920s, maybe up into the 1940s, would get published. What you're looking at on your screen right now is a photograph that was published in the Strand magazine. This is a giant mummy that was discovered over in the UK. And that was published. Well, the thing that has happened is that as we entered into the 1900s, we got into a period of time where the like I mentioned the Smithsonian because, and let me tell you why, the Smithsonian is mentioned in some newspaper articles having to do with the discovery of a cave out here in Arizona in what we call the Grand Canyon. You've heard me jokingly say that Arizona's slogan ought to be the state with a big ditch in it. Now, I said that once before, and I got an email from someone who had misunderstood what I said and thought I didn't say ditch with a D as in David. They thought I said something else. Well, the Smithsonian was mentioned in the newspaper accounts at that time as being in charge of the excavation or the archaeological project inside that cave where they found these giant skeletons. And then they just disappeared. The giant skeletons disappeared, and the Smithsonian says they don't even have any information or record of that expedition. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Kevin calling from Northern Alberta. How are you tonight?
Outstanding. How are you?
Oh, I can't complain. Nobody listens anyways.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. What's on your mind?
I was wondering about this forbidden archaeology that you've been talking about tonight, and how we discussed previously that there's a law that doesn't allow NASA to reveal the truth on extraterrestrials. Is there such a law possibly within academia today?
Not that I know of, but if those skeletons are extraterrestrial, it falls under that law that you just mentioned. And so I don't know if you heard when I made the point about giants that live among us today. Nobody sent out any snipers to get rid of the giant people that exist on the earth today. But when these giant skeletons are found, they're scooped up, hauled off, and then it's like they never existed. You can't find any record of them. You cannot find any record of who took them away or where they took them or why. And so, I said, my point is, there's something about those ancient giants that's different from the giants that live among us today.
Sure.
So, is the difference that those ancient skeletons are the skeletons, are let's say, of either extraterrestrials or the offspring of extraterrestrials, and that examining them and letting the information out into the public would be revealing extraterrestrial presence. If so, that means those skeletons fall under that law that you just mentioned, and that's why they're keeping it secret.
Well, somebody knows the truth.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't think that academia is keeping quiet on this. I don't think there's a conspiracy among academics to keep quiet about this, because think what would happen as an academic if you could haul one of these giant skeletons into your university, put it on display, and start holding seminars. You would be famous for the rest of your life and beyond. So I don't think that academia is doing it.
I don't know. There's so many truths that we don't know about, and I think they'd have to go back and rewrite a few of the textbooks, and they just don't want to do that. They don't want to make that effort.
Well, they would have to rewrite a lot of the textbooks, but the professor that brought in the absolute, solid, undeniable proof, the skeleton, that professor would have it made for the rest of his days.
Surely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you. Good night.
Telephone number is 602-539-9580. And we're going forward. We're going on because this is, for some of you, we're into our second hour. But for some of you, you're into your third hour with me tonight. And that's cool. That's fine. Someone tampered with our atomic clock, and has nothing to do with the fact that daylight savings time happened, because we're already set up to automatically adjust. But someone went in there and changed the settings in the atomic clock. All right, and it runs the computers and the software. All right, so what do you think about this? I mean, you know, we're talking about these giants. I mentioned that there are giants living among us today. I've shown this picture several times. I'm showing it more because we're having people join us now who, you know, maybe their clocks were off or whatever, and whatever. Anyway, so the deal is that what you're looking at on the screen at this point is a picture of a living giant in Afghanistan standing next to a U.S. military personnel. And look at the difference in the size. Look at the difference in the size of that giant and that soldier. Look at the difference in the size of that giant and the other Afghan men behind him. He's huge. Well, there's no one trying to wipe out living giants. However, someone is scooping up. It's not someone, it's a group, it's various agencies, I would assume, scooping up the skeletal remains of ancient giants And those are going into a black hole, an information black hole. After they take them, I mean, you get reports of people finding them, but then after that, the professional archaeologists come in, and it all disappears, and no one seems to be able to tell us who took them, where did they go, what do you know about them? They simply deny all knowledge of the entire event. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Louie from Connecticut.
Hi, Louie.
Hey, Kevin, I was thinking maybe it's a possibility maybe these giant skeletons are not ancient. Maybe they recently died and they don't want people to know they're still around. They could be living under the ground.
Well, now, that's true. It could be. Now, the skeletons that we know about are very ancient. They were wrapped, for instance, I showed you a picture of an ancient mummy. And that mummy is, I think that's about 14 feet tall. So that obviously is, it's very old. It's a mummy. And as a matter of fact, it has fossilized. You could not unwrap it if you wanted to. It's fossilized.
Talk about the one that's redhead.
Yeah, you know that found. They may not be all that ancient. You're right.
But it could be. They could be possibility living in the Grand Canyon. We don't know it.
Yeah,
that's why they're hiding them.
That might be the case. And so what you're saying is perhaps there is still a functioning living civilization in that cave.
It's a possibility.
It's a massive cave, according to the people that have been in it and the newspaper reports of the time. So, it's a massive, massive cave. And so it's possible that in the deep recesses of that cave system, there may still be a living civilization of these giants.
That's what I think.
All right, man.
You have a good evening, Kevin.
Thanks for the call.
Yes, sir.
All right, the telephone number is 602-539-9580. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, interesting stuff about the Giants tonight.
What do you think? Do you think these ancient giant skeletons, you think there's something other than human?
Well, let me bounce a quick question off you then. What was this? How tall were they again? And how many of them had those extra set of teeth, or is that something that just happened in one case?
Oh, no. All right. They range from like 8 feet to 14 feet, the ones that have been found in the United States. All right? From
okay.
8 feet to 14 feet.
How many of them have been found and scooped away, out of curiosity?
All of them.
Like how many is that again?
Well, just from one cave, there were 62.
62?
That's correct. Just from one cave.
Oh, that's a problem. There's agencies just pulling material left and right. Okay, yeah, I don't know what it is. It could be, my assumption is, at first I was going to think it's some kind of gigantism or some kind of fable, but when you get numbers like that, that's kind of ridiculous. I guess I'd have to say it's possible that maybe it's an offshoot, like we had Cro-Magnon Man, and maybe there was another, because we found that there's like small people that was like an offshoot from Homo erectus around the Polynesian area.
Yeah, Bob, we're into a break. Do you want to hang on through the break, or does that about do it for you?
I'll hang on a little bit longer.
All right, hang on. We'll be back in about 3 minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, more of the Kevin Smith Show and What's Up with the Giants right after this break. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I'm Kevin Smith, your host, and we're talking with Bob in California. Bob, you still with me?
Sure am.
All right. You were making a point when the break took over, and I don't want to interrupt you, so go ahead.
Well, I mean, we had different offshoots like Neanderthal, you know, and we have bones of things like that. I guess it's possible it was some kind of a different species that was maybe related to us on the tree somewhere. If they're covering it up that quickly, it's possible it could be alien-related. That
yeah.
makes things a whole lot more complicated. But I just wanted to say, 62 bodies, that's a lot of evidence to be covering up.
Now, that's from
and
one site.
It kind of rules out gigantism on a singular thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of, that in itself pushes the whole thing in a new direction. But I'm going to let you take it from here because I have to say, I just don't know.
Thanks for the call. All right. It's a great mystery, big mystery. The telephone number is 602-539-9580, and I'll get that up on the screen for you for a little bit. But 602-539-9580. There have been, I would say, hundreds of skeletons and mummies of these giants found all over the world. Now, down in South America, in a region called Patagonia, at the time of the conquistadors, there were giants, whole villages, towns of giants, still living at the time the conquistadors were beginning to discover and then conquer South America. It's not just the occasional giantism syndrome. There were whole tribes of these things. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
It's Charles in Albuquerque.
Hi, Charles.
Good evening.
What's on your mind this evening?
Oh, I've been listening to your show here, and I tuned in an hour late like many people. And
You tuned in at the right time. Our atomic clock got messed with. And so it turned our computers on and turned our broadcast on an hour early.
Well, I'm sitting here, and I have two atomic clocks in my study here.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother has three in her den. And let me tell you, these atomic clocks are not all what they're cracked up to be.
That's true, but the actual settings.
The explanation would be that it's a glitch in your atomic clock.
Well, our atomic clock has, you can click, one of the options is for it to automatically adjust for daylight savings time.
Yeah, I have those too.
Yeah, and someone has unclicked that. And so, and it wasn't me. Haven't even been in the atomic clock configuration now for months. It wasn't anybody that works with me here. Nobody's been in it, so I don't know what happened. I really, truly have no explanation for that. Other than it turned the broadcast on and turned the software on an hour early. But we've got that fixed.
They're trying to stop you.
I don't know. Maybe, but I simply went in there and manually set the atomic clock for the correct offset for the proper time, and it's we're set to go now.
Somebody's been messing with it and doesn't remember it.
That could be, but it isn't me, I can tell you. I can tell you for sure, because for months, it's really weeks, about a month and a half ago, I knew that I needed to make sure that we automatically adjusted for daylight savings time, and I opened the configuration to take a look, and it was checked. I didn't click anything. It was checked, and I simply closed it. And then when I opened it tonight to see what was wrong, it was not checked. So who knows? Who knows? It's a mystery like these skeletons. What do you think about these skeletons?
Well, you know, that's an interesting observation that these skeletons have been disappearing. I would think that the motivation behind that might be they don't want us to be able to do any genetic testing on those.
Well, yeah, it seems to me that that would be a very viable option. You know, here's the deal. I'm not aware of any legislation, any law anywhere, that would put a lid on these skeletons, except that Space Act that makes it criminal to disclose anything having to do with extraterrestrials, extraterrestrial civilizations, extraterrestrial artifacts. If these bones are in fact extraterrestrial, then it would fall under that law, and that would explain the silence.
Yeah, that it might, and also I think we're probably dealing with people who are have their own agenda, and they're not necessarily following published legislation.
Yeah, you know, I keep referring to the Smithsonian. The Smithsonian Institute has been throughout, well, ever since it came into existence, it has been one of the most respected institutions in the United States of America.
Yeah, yeah. Have you ever visited the Smithsonian?
I have. I have indeed.
It struck me as a pretty disorganized place.
Yeah, it's kind of like a big warehouse with stuff just kind of everywhere.
I wouldn't put it past them to lose a whole expedition.
It's not just one. There are several. But not only have they lost an expedition or two, they have absolutely no idea what you're talking about if you talk to them about these giant skeletons. Don't exist. And yet, the newspapers at the time reported that it was the Smithsonian people that came in and named the names of the people. And, you know, they are the ones that did the excavations. And then, you know, where are the bones?
It's a mystery.
It is indeed. Don't you find that it's interesting to note what people won't talk about?
Yeah, in fact, you know, the careful observer can learn more, I think, about what's not there than what is.
That's true. And, you know, I've said before, perhaps it's my years in police work that caused me to be this way. But when I start hearing the sounds of silence, I start paying attention to that. That's what draws my attention more than what's being said. And, and this subject here has an absolute blanket of silence on it from official sources. Don't know what you're talking about. Charles, you're out here in the Southwest. Do you remember about a year or two back, there's a guy that he finally disclosed that he had on his property, he had found major remains of an ancient civilization out here in, I think it was in Arizona, but it might have been New Mexico, but it was out here in the Southwest. And he finally disclosed that, said he's known about it for years, but he's kept people away from it. And he's now turned it over to archaeologists to see whatever they can find about that. Are you familiar with that?
I'm not really familiar with it, but I do vaguely remember some story about that, like of that nature.
That hit the newspapers. And then it went quiet. Now, if what they found was, you know, old Pueblo dwellings or dwellings of the Anasazi or some other Native Americans, that would have been front page news. That would have been all over. There'd be pictures of it everywhere. But it went quiet. And there haven't been any stories since. Leading me to think that site may fall into this same black hole, being it has something about it that puts it under that Space Act.
Sure, and if we're able to get a hold of any of those remains and do any genetic testing on them, it may reveal that they're not entirely human.
And have you heard of Charles Hall?
Oh, yes, I have. Very interesting fellow. Lives here in Albuquerque.
Yeah, and he's a nice guy, too. Smart, really smart, and a very nice person. And what an amazing story he has to tell. But he talks about his dentist that, I believe it's Charles Hall that talks about this, that revealed to him that there are extraterrestrials that look just like us, living among us. And he said that
they're
guy...
They're living here in Albuquerque, I'll bet.
Probably. This was overseas, though. And he said that guy that just left here, he's one. And he said the way you can tell he's one is all you have to do is look in his mouth. And he said the number of teeth is all different. And if one of his teeth comes out, he grows another one.
Wouldn't that be convenient, having just paid a big dental bill?
Oh, yeah, it would be. I haven't seen a dentist in a long time. My dentist is in Skopje, Macedonia.
Well, so, I hope you don't get a toothache anytime soon.
Yeah, he's a really great dentist, Dr. Peter Konevsky, and he lives in Skopje, Macedonia. Charles, thanks for the call, man.
Well, as always, thanks for being there.
All right, thank you. All right, folks, we kind of got off topic a little bit, but that's okay. I'd like to hear from you. What do you think about these giants? All over the world, skeletons of giants have been found, and they have some pretty interesting characteristics that are different from humans as we know us. Double rows of teeth, six fingers, six toes. Lots of those have been found all over the world. And then once the skeletons are discovered, it just disappears. And you can't find anyone in any of the official agencies that handle this type of archaeological find. You can't find anyone that will admit they went out there and picked up the bones of a giant. You can't find anyone that will talk to you about it. You can find a lot of people that'll chuckle and scoff at you, just like the UFO thing. And yet we know for sure that they have found them, and we know for sure they took them away. What's the deal here? 602-539-9580 when we come back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are on Final Approach. I have time for one or two more calls at 602-539-9580. Someone called during the break, just as the break was ending, and I put them on hold, and they went away. When you call in, you're either going to start hearing this show in your telephone, or you're going to hear music. If you hear music, that means you're on hold. Or if the lines are full, it means it's just going to transfer you over to, it's either going to tell you that it's not available right now, or it'll transfer you over to voicemail. But if you hear music or if you hear this show, that means you made it, you're in, and just hang in there, we'll get to you. All right, we're talking about this, the weird silence that has descended upon these ancient giant skeletons. They do exist. There's no doubt about that, because there are news reports from the late 1800s up through about the 1920s there are news reports and in some cases photographs that were published of these things being found. And by these things, I'm saying that because I don't know that they're human. I mean, maybe they are. Maybe they are human. But if they are human, then why the secrecy? And the point being, we have human giants that live on this planet among us now. All over the world, every country has a number of giants that fully human that live among us. But with these giant skeletons, these ancient giant skeletons, what we're dealing with is a blanket of absolute silence. No information from official sources. None. They will, after they've come in and done their excavation, they take the skeleton and they go away. And then when you ask them later about it, they say, we don't know what you're talking about. There was no such expedition. We didn't do that. And yet we know for sure that the expedition happened. We have in the news reports the dates. We have the general location that it happened. We have the names of the people in charge of the expedition. And then no record. And it's not just one or two. As I said, there was one cave where they took 62 out of one cave. Right here in the United States of America. All right, all over America, these giant skeletons have been found, and they're gone. And then there's this blanket of silence. No information. It's like trying to get information out of a black hole. You can't. Now, that black hole for information is the news. Yeah, I'm interested in what were these giants, but I think the answer to what were they, who are they, that's why it's in the black hole. There's something about those skeletons that is much different from the giants that live among us today. There's something about them that isn't us. I think. That's my opinion. I think that. And the reason I think that is because of this blackout of information. Well, this blackout of information screams for attention. Now, I'm not saying that we're ever going to get anything out of that black hole. I'm not saying that we are ever going to get any officials to talk about this. Maybe we will, I don't know. That's not the goal, and that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that the existence of that black hole of information screams for attention. Trying to keep it secret that way points right at it and says, look at that, pay attention to that. And the more I don't hear about this subject, the more I don't hear answers about what happened to those skeletons. Where did they go? The more I hear the people, the agencies that were involved in taking the skeletons say we have no information on that. It didn't happen. The more I hear that, the more I know there's something strange about those skeletons. Or at least the more I think there's something strange about those skeletons. Two rows of teeth, six fingers, six toes. Now, I showed this earlier. And let me show you just some strange skeletons. That's not a giant, but that is a real skull, apparently humanoid, but obviously not human. When's the last time you heard an explanation of that? When's the first time you heard any officials talking about that? You haven't. I mean, what is that? Obviously humanoid, but not human. The pharaohs of Egypt, most of them had very human features, but some of them did not, like King Tut. King Tut's father This is a bust of King Tut. This is the skull of his father. And there, it's not just in that family. There are many pharaohs pictured as having those elongated skulls. What are they? Now, the Egyptians believe them to be gods. The Egyptians believe the pharaohs to be gods. And maybe in the beginning, some of them were either extraterrestrial or descended directly from extraterrestrials. Maybe they were hybrids. And maybe thereby had access to information that made them superior because of their information. Obviously, there was something quite different about them. And this was not just one family, because this same type of skull has been found in South America as well, the elongated skulls. And these, some were elongated by a process of tying boards to the head and you know, forcing the skull as it was growing to grow in an elongated fashion. But you can see on those the imprints of the boards. And furthermore, they still have all the seams and cracks and things in the skull that you find in all of the humans. But that's not the case in all of these elongated skulls. The picture that you're looking at on your screen at this moment is a picture of sort of a gathering of strange skulls, and you see that many of them are very elongated. Why is no one talking about this? Why is no one, I mean, when they do, they say, well, he suffered from a condition called blah, blah, blah. And when you check out that condition, you find out it's fatal, and you find out that whoever had that condition would not have been able to function as king, as pharaoh. And then you find that these skulls appear all over the world, just as the giants. But there is this very thick blanket of silence. And when you do hear anything at all, where somebody sort of tries to explain these strange-shaped skulls, they're feeding you mushroom food. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have reached the end of the show. I appreciate you for being here. I thank you, and I hope you'll join me tomorrow. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until tomorrow, so long, everybody.